Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. Coming to you from Tehran, I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, what appears to be similar to the Occupy movements that we've seen taking place all over the world. Now, this time we see the same tactics being used on the West Bank as Palestinians set up tents to protest against the Israeli expansion of more illegal settlements. Though their tactics are similar to activists, perhaps the Palestinians can call their movement the anti-occupied movement, as they are really protesting the occupation of their whole country.
The struggle continues against Israel's land grabbing activities in the Palestinian territories. Palestinian and foreign activists have set up this tent camp in an area known as E1 in the occupied West Bank. The land has been recently earmarked by Tel Aviv for building new settler units. These young Palestinian and foreign activists are setting up makeshift tents here to prevent Israel from going ahead with the settlement projects. The Israeli regime has warned that they must dismantle the tents or face force. The activists are shrugging off the threat.
Recently, we heard of Israel's plan to build settlement units in the E1 area. We decided to move quickly and begin making plans. We came here to the so-called E1 area, which is a Palestinian land. We came here to build a Palestinian village called Bab al-Shams, which has many meanings: the gate to freedom, resistance, returns and al-Quds. We are here to ascertain that this area is Palestinian and that we will remain here.
Palestinian politicians have also made solidarity visits to the protest campsite. Anger is on the rise among Palestinians over the approval of thousands of new settler units by Israel. Tel Aviv approved the new units after Palestinians were granted non-member state observer status at the UN in late 2012. And it has done little to hide the fact that the settlement expansion is aimed at wreaking vengeance on Palestinians over their statehood bid. Israel's move has drawn widespread condemnation from the international community, which regards the settlements as illegal. So are they considered by the UN. In December, UN Chief Ban Ki-moon condemned Israel for its settlement building activities, and the UN General Assembly issued several resolutions against Tel Aviv for systematically violating the rights of Palestinians.
I'm deeply concerned by heightened settlement activity in the West Bank, in particular around Jerusalem. This gravely threatens efforts to establish a viable Palestinian state. I call on Israel to refrain from continuing on this dangerous path.
Despite growing anti-Israel sentiments among world nations, Washington has paralyzed the international community's efforts to take action against Israel's crimes. The U.S. has vetoed many resolutions aimed against Israel in recent decades, thus isolating itself by helping Tel Aviv grab more Palestinian land and kill more Palestinian children.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from Ramallah, from the Palestinian Legislative Council, Mr. Abdullah Abdullah. And from Gaza, professor at the Islamic University of Gaza, Mr. Hani Al-Bassouz. Welcome both of you to the program. Well, I'd like to start off in Ramallah with Mr. Abdullah. Now, all the settlements are illegal according to international law. And yet, not only we continue to see Israel expanding the settlements, we've seen an acceleration. Why do you think, first of all, that we're seeing them accelerate with speed the amount of settlements that they are constructing?
Israel is aiming at obstructing the creation of a Palestinian state by confiscating our land, building more settlements, separating the West Bank into two unconnected parts, isolating Jerusalem from the rest of the Palestinian territory. That is the aim of the Israelis, and therefore the action has been taken by our youth, our activists, to block this Israeli plan. And today I just arrived back from the village of Bab al-Shams, Sun's Door, which is thrilling how the enthusiastic crowd there, who are determined to preserve our land, to preserve our right to have a state of our own, challenging the international community, which recognized Palestine as a state less than 2 months ago, to protect this land and to protect its people, and to even if it need to go, to be taking the aggressor, the occupier, who is attacking our country, who is violating our rights, to the Criminal Court of Justice.
Well, what about that, Mr. Al-Bassous? Now, Mr. Abdullah is saying that the youth are taking basically this action now in their own hand, and they're very enthusiastic. How likely is Israel going to allow them to stay out there much longer?
Well, I don't think the Israeli army will let those young people to stand there for a long time. We understand from the beginning that the occupation forces in Palestine have violated international law and building more settlements in Palestine, especially in the West Bank and mainly in Jerusalem al-Quds, for the past many years. This was accelerated as a process after the establishment or after the acknowledgement of a Palestinian state as a non-member state at the UN. Now, we can understand is the only way to stop the Israeli settlement is Palestinian youth and Palestinian young people who can stand to defend the Palestinian land in West Bank and everywhere in Palestine. The occupation forces have never listened to the Palestinians. For the past many years, we can understand that the settlements were the main obstacles for peace, and now we can understand that the Israeli occupation forces would like to build more settlements, not to give the Palestinian people any chance to establish their own state in the West Bank and Gaza State and Gaza Strip, as it's being recognized by the UN. And we can understand at the same time the UN itself and the United States and many European countries have done nothing to stop the Israeli settlements. And I think now what has been left for the young Palestinian people is to take an action. Such an action is to resist and to protest. We can understand at the same time that all what the Palestinian young people have been doing for the past 2 days is a non-violent protest in Jerusalem in the West Bank against the Israeli policy and building some tents as a protest against the Israeli policy to build the new settlements in the West Bank and Jerusalem. This action by the Palestinian people might turn to violence because the Israeli army will not stop such settlements.
Well, what about that, Mr. Abdullah? Are we seeing something we know from 2 years ago up until this time still? We've seen an awakening, especially in the Muslim world, whether it be North Africa, Middle East. Is this a part of that? Of course, the Palestinians have been aware of their fate, but it's been very difficult for them to coordinate because, of course, divisive elements, even from within. Do you think this is the beginning of a type of Islamic or a type of awakening, a Palestinian awakening that perhaps is taking place, or how do you see it?
My dear, the struggle of the Palestinian people have started on the 1st of January of 1965 in the contemporary Palestinian struggle wave. And that is not awakening. We are awake long time ago. We've been struggling, we'll continue to struggle as long as our land is under occupation. Struggle takes several ways and options. Now, the civil disobedience, civil resistance, non-violent one, especially in the face of the Israeli power, which is unparalleled in the region, in the whole region. So we take the easy one for us, the more costly to the Israelis, less costly to our people in confronting this aggression. Never stop. Remember, Na'lin, which was the first episode of our nonviolent struggle, came after the second intifada of Al-Aqsa intifada. It is now in its seventh year. Mm-hmm. So it's not really new. There is development of this of the means that we are fighting our occupiers. One of the ideas, it is creative, which is really innovative in our work and our defiance of the enemy, and our steadfastness and our resistance to the occupier. And it came to this way of resisting the occupation by preventing the creation of a settlement that will separate our territory and make the Palestinian state unviable if created.
Okay, well, I want to get back to something you've just said, but let me just welcome our next guest out of New York, reporter and political analyst Ms. Maxine Dover, thank you so much for being with us. I want to look at the whole situation with the settlement building to begin with, because according to the United Nations, all of this settlement activity is illegal. Why do we see, first of all, Tel Aviv continually expanding the settlement activity, even though it is against international law? And we've seen even an increase in this, especially after the United Nations gave a status state to the Palestinians. Do you see a connection?
Well, first let me say that Tel Aviv is a city, and it is a city that has very little to do with the settlements. Its only expansion is within the city limits.
Well, of course, when I say Tel Aviv, I mean it's the capital of Israel, so it's representing Israel itself, but go ahead.
Well, most agree that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and whatever the final status be of Jerusalem remains to be seen. Tel Aviv is not the capital of Jerusalem, capital of Israel. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. With regard to the building in the settlement.
Not one country.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Dover.
Jerusalem is the recognized capital of Israel. It's the government
seat. Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
All right, go ahead, Ms. Dover.
I beg to differ. Certainly, the mayor, Ron Holday, will be very happy to look at Tel Aviv as the capital of economy, but he's not going to look at that Tel Aviv as the capital of Israel, that's for sure. What I think our question is regarding the expansion of the settlements. The expansion of the settlements is indeed a problem. It is a problem both for Israel and for the Palestinian entity that will become the Palestinian state. I think that most thinking people will agree that there needs to be a recognition that there are thousands and thousands of people living in the area, some of them living in settlements, some of them living in villages, all of whom have to have eventually a place to live. And how we as commentators look at this and hopefully have some of our voices heard by some of the decision makers is a big question. Should the settlements be expanding? That is a deep and complex political question.
Well, let's look at it from the international perspective. International perspective, should they even exist? Something that's going against international law, should it even exist to begin with, Ms. Dover?
There are areas that are called settlements by some, called cities by others, and have become places that people live. Should they exist as places that people live? I think they should. What their governments and governance should be is what we are sitting here and questioning.
All right, well, let me turn to
they are
let me
not
turn
going to
Gaza
be wiped off
from
that, that's for sure.
Okay, Mr. Al-Bassous, your take on what Ms. Dover has said. According to international law, these settlements are illegal, but she says that people are living there now, so it's something that needs to be discussed if it's really legal or illegal. Your take, sir?
Well, I think even if those people living there, those are settlers, though they live at the expense of the Palestinian land and at the expense of the rights of the Palestinian people. It's a legal act. It's a legal activity. It does not matter if they live there for one day or they live there for 100 years. It's still against the international law, and this is not acceptable. We can understand now the UN General Assembly have accepted Palestine as a state on 1967 border, and this includes the whole Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem. And we can see that many settlements were built and expansion, and new settlements are still built in the West Bank and Jerusalem. And this is a violation of international law. And does not matter if your guests in New York accept the fact that people living in settlements would make it legal. This is not legal. It's illegal. a de facto situation, even if it's been built here for 50 years, it does not change the situation. We can understand as Palestinians that the state of Israel was established in 1948 at the expense of the rights of the Palestinian people and occupied all Palestine in 1967. This does not make it a state at the expense of the Palestinian people. We can understand that we have 6 million Palestinian refugees. They would come back to Palestine and live in their own land one day. And as I said again, the Palestinian people would have the right to protest in the West Bank, and they would have the right to go back to live in the West Bank, in Jerusalem, and everywhere they come from. And the international law has to come to a point in which we can take such people into the court of international humanitarian law has to be implemented. Otherwise, what's going on nowadays is illegal.
All right, well, let me get Mr. Abdullah back in on this. Let's look at the reaction that we have seen since the UN situation we talked about earlier, that the Palestinians have been given that observer state status. And we touched on this a little bit earlier. We have seen it almost appears as it's like a run-on settlement buildings. Do you consider that a total slap in the face of the international community, the way Israel has responded since that time? And if so, why do we see basically a very calm, if any, reaction from major international players?
Let me tell you that Israel is becoming a pariah state. Israel never accepted, never respected any resolution taken by the Security Council or the General Assembly. Israel never accepted the consensus of the international community that the resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict must be a creating of a Palestinian state on a territory occupied in 1967, which accounts for about 22% of the historic Palestine. That is a major historic compromise on the part of the Palestinians. Unfortunately, Israel, instead of going that route, Israel is pushing its people to a continued, protracted bloodletting, violence, and disturbance in the region. And people who are trying to defend the undefendable of Israeli policies and practices are only pushing Israel to the brink of the abyss if they don't review their view and probably take the understanding of what Mr. Kissinger have taken, that if the Israeli policies continue with Mr. Netanyahu as leading these policies, for 10 years, there will be no Israel. And if they are keen for keeping Israel, protecting international law, protecting the law of the Charter of the United Nations and its principles, international humanitarian law, then they should press Israel to put an end to its occupation, not to take more land of the Palestinian, not to destroy more homes of the Palestinians, not to kill more people of the Palestinians, to leave a room for reconciliation between two peoples who will be living side by side, whether they like it or not. This is the dictatorship of geography. But defending Israel outrightly, well, like some people we witness nowadays, it's only harming Israel and the Israelis, whether they know it or not.
Ms. Dover, you seem like you want to comment on what he has said.
You know, I would love to comment upon, may I comment upon the last statement?
Sure.
And applaud it and say that these are words of sense and these are words of civility. And I think that if you and others who perhaps are sitting in front of these cameras might influence those who make the decisions for reconciliation, for understanding the need and the reality of two people living in two states side by side, we would have a far better, more civilized, more tenable solution. The words that you've said certainly are words to be listened to. I think most Israelis, and obviously in every group, whether Israeli or Palestinian, there are always going to be those on far extremes. But the majority of people, I believe, in Palestine, the majority of people in Israel would applaud your words and look to reconciliation and look to civilized living of two people
then let
in,
us encourage
in two
them.
States with let independence and
them.
Security. Look.
Okay,
we,
Mr. Over,
we,
let me just
take
jump
a lead,
in here.
Perhaps, and
all right,
we,
let me
can,
just jump in here because
you know there is a huge difference. But may I just comment to
go
the
ahead.
UN to
go
the
ahead.
UN statements? There is a huge difference between the multilateral statements that come out as so-called policy and the bilateral relations between Israel and her neighbors, whether her neighbors are in fact the Palestinian Authority or Jordan or Egypt or the neighbors to the south in Africa, where there is working together, where there is progress in the areas that really create livability for people.
Ms. Dover, you just talked about livability. Let me just jump in here. You talk about livability and that Israel is interested in creating that state of livability with its neighbors. How is that possible when we look at, when we're looking at this situation right now with taking over more and more land, with the whole settlement buildings? We've just seen another war on Gaza. We've just had another Palestinian killed. Even today, how can you talk about that basically Israel wants to live in peace and have this civility when they're showing very, very aggressive behavior? Do you not think that this is a form of aggression?
You know, as an American who looks at the multiple sides of this question, I've been involved in the study of the Middle East since I was in university. As an American, I would be ecstatic if the word reconciliation, the words two states for two people, were in fact the guiding words. The other words need to be recognition of the right of Israel to exist and the right of the state of Israel to have its security and of the Palestinian state to have its security.
Okay, well, let me turn to Gaza because I'm almost out of time. I want to give everybody a fair share in this. Your take, Mr. Al-Bassous, on this. Our guest in New York says that basically Israel wants to live in peace. However, in your perspective, the actions that it's showing and has shown, does it show that it has respect for Palestinians, can live in peace, and want to live in peace, in your perspective?
Absolutely no. I think the Israeli government and the Israeli occupation forces do not want peace. They do not like peace at all. They have the chance since 1993, since they signed the Oslo Agreement with the PLO to establish a Palestinian state and to establish peace and prosperity and to have security. But we have witnessed for the past 20 years now, we have witnessed violation of the Palestinian rights, violation of the peace agreements, an attack on the Palestinian peoples in Gaza, in the West Bank, building new settlements and building settlements in the West Bank and Jerusalem. All these are violations of the Palestinian rights. How can we understand peace by what the Israeli government is doing nowadays? And I think with the support of the international community,
can we look at what preceded,
Okay, Mr. Bassous, I'm sorry, we are out of time. I really appreciate everyone. I am so sorry, we are smack out of time, but I appreciate everyone being with us. Mr. Abdullah out of Ramallah, Ms. Maxine Dover out of New York, and Mr. Hanna Al-Bassous out of Gaza. Thank you all for being with us. And thank you, viewers, for being with us. And make sure you join us right here, same time, same place, tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you so much for being with us, and goodbye.